never. Never lose. It will never lose. It will never, ever, 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 ever lose its power. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you because you brought us to the first Sunday in March. And this is evidence, God, that the blood never loses its power. God, you've kept us in the faith, God, even with the virus, Lord, and even with family members doing things, Lord, and even with friends doing things, Lord, and even with the economy and politics, God, and even with health challenges, God, you've kept us, God. And we know that the blood never loses its power. So we thank you, God. As we are walking up on Resurrection Day, God, we are thankful, Lord, for in this season for what you have sent your Son to do, God. We thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate today, God, what you have done, God, through your Son. We just ask, Lord, that in this sermon, Lord, that you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech, clarity of thought, God. Lord, if there's anything that's preventing us from hearing what you want us to say, we ask that you remove that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking that we be receptive to your word, Lord, the hearers as well as the speaker, God. Let us all be receptive to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is good to be here with you all. As some of you online may not be able to see, but there are more of our members coming physically. There's still a good amount of space between our members. Amen. That's how we do it. So we want to make sure we're staying socially distant and whatnot. But it's good to see the faces here. Amen. Amen. But if you're online, we're grateful. I can't see you through the camera, but I'm grateful for you tuning in, whether it's today or whether it's a year from now, where I'm thankful that you are tuned in to today's service. As we get ready to start our sermon series, we are moving on to a new series. If you can't read it, it says, "Just take the easy way out." Just take the easy way out. And what we're going to be doing in this series is walking through the temptations of Jesus Christ when he was in the wilderness. So with that in mind, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And once you get to the book of Matthew, turn to the fourth chapter. The book of Matthew. The fourth chapter. And once you're there, please turn with me to the third verse. We're actually going to be covering the first through the fourth verses and the 11th verse of the fourth chapter of Matthew. But we're going to ask, just for sake of time, that we just read the third verse. If you do not have your Bibles present with you today, it is present on the screen. If you all have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. Everybody's fasting here. Amen. Online, I'm praying you're with us too. The book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, the third verse out of the Christian Standard Bible, a version reads as follows. It says, "Then the tempter approached him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" And that concludes the reading of that scripture, portion of scripture. The title today is Just Eat. Just Eat. Just Eat. Many of you have known me from birth. You have seen me grow up here. That being said, most of you know that I love to eat. I love food. In fact, I loved food so much that I gained far too much weight from it. There we go. There's a riff. Right now, for the first time in my life, I am trying to lose weight. And let me tell you, it is hard to do. But by the grace of God, it looks like things are going well. And I thank God for my wife, Felicia, who inspired me to go on this journey. And some of you who have seen her know she's on her own journey too. Why am I saying this? I had to learn that I suffered from the sin of gluttony. Now, most people think that gluttony means eating too much. But in reality, gluttony is simply when your belly rules you. Whenever I saw food that I liked, my stomach would tell me, "Just eat." So I listened. See, therefore, I was a glutton even when I was a skinny kid. Some of y'all remember, I didn't always look like, you couldn't always do this. I was a glutton even when my cholesterol was low. I was a glutton because I didn't have control over my cravings. What about you? Do you have control over your cravings? Some of us might think we're good because we watch our weight. But gluttony doesn't apply just to food, you know. Now, I know that Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians and Anglicans, as well as some others, are in the middle of this season called Lent. Here's a fun fact. The 40 days of Lent is actually based on the passage of scripture we're reading right now. Now, we are not required to observe Lent, but especially in this Lenten season, you will find many people giving up sweets or even non-food items such as TV, social media, you name it. But why are they doing it? They are fasting to remember what Jesus came to do. They can't just eat whatever and whenever they want to. They have to resist the temptation to eat or do whatever they would normally do. They have to control their cravings. Although I am not officially observing Lent, nor am I commanding you to observe it, I am, in a sense, doing the same thing that they are doing, which is learning to control my cravings. So my question to you is this. How do we do this? How can we control our cravings? Not just food, But anything that the Lord is leading us to give up, how can we control our cravings? Whether you feel led to give up something for Lent or you're fasting, or if God is leading you to give up something permanently, or if, like me, you are simply trying to live a healthier lifestyle. At some point, we will need to deal with our natural cravings. At some point, we will have to deal with the temptation to go back, to give up, to listen to what our body wants and, in a sense, just eat. How do we control that? How can we control our cravings? Matthew 4:1 sets the stage to answer that very question. Jesus had just been baptized. People had just heard God the Father boom out the sky and say that Jesus is his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. I mean, I don't know what it was like when you got baptized. I remember what it was like when I got baptized, and it was nothing like this. This is unbeatable. But look at what the Holy Spirit does right after that. Verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Not really the baptism reception that you planned, right? You know, some of us think that becoming a Christian should solve all our problems. We think that following God will eliminate all stress from your life. But to be honest with you, sometimes problems get created because you're a Christian. Sometimes God leads you to a stressful situation. But let's come back to this message. We know that the Father requires Jesus to fast in order to weaken him and allow his faith to be tested. What? Verse 2. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, get this, he was hungry. Think about it. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days, and then he becomes hungry? Jesus lasted 40 days. Some of us can't even last 40 minutes. If we could be honest, some of us are hungry right now. But look at verse 3. Then the tempter approached him. Y'all know how that's how the devil works, right? He may not mess with you during your good days. He might not tempt you while you're, you know, hearing a sermon about temptations. But when you're weak, when you're needy, when you're hungry, when that craving gets hard to control, that's when the devil just happens to find you. That's when the temptations really hit. The devil waited until Jesus was physically weak and ready to just eat anything that even looked like food. And then he drops it on him in verse 3. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Just eat, Jesus. Now, I want us to look at what the devil is doing. He says, if you are the Son of God. Now, Satan knows who Jesus is. He knows he's the Son of God. I mean, hello, who cast him out of heaven? At the very least, didn't the Father just boom from the sky that Jesus is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased? So, yeah, Satan is not here to find out if it's true. He knows it's true. And he knows that Jesus knows that it's true. Satan was not here looking for proof. So what was Satan trying to do? I think Satan was trying to stroke his ego. Satan knows who Jesus is and how powerful he is, and Jesus knows about it too. But really think about it. Is Satan genuinely concerned about Jesus getting something to eat? Probably not. Is Satan genuinely looking to believe in Jesus' power? Nah. Why didn't Satan just tell him to turn stones into bread? Why did he have to mention the whole Son of God thing? Why did Satan feel the need to remind Jesus of who he is? Here's the reason. Satan wanted Jesus to start thinking about himself. Satan wanted Jesus to focus on himself. Think about it. It's not a sin to turn stones into bread. I mean, if we could do that, we could end world hunger right now. I personally would love that power. It's not a sin that Jesus would eat bread. Carbs are not evil, despite what your dietitian says. Carbs are not evil. And Jesus even calls himself the bread of life later on. Didn't Jesus multiply 5 loaves of bread? Matter of fact, isn't communion celebrated with bread? It's not even a sin to eat. See, it wasn't about the stones at all. It was about making Jesus prioritize a meal over the mission. It was about Jesus letting his cravings control him instead of him controlling his cravings. Satan wanted Jesus to think about Jesus more than the Father. Satan wanted Jesus to think about the power that he has rather than the power that God has. Satan wanted Jesus to focus on his strength rather than his weakness. Satan wanted to remind Jesus of his independence from God rather than his dependence upon God. Why am I saying this? St. John, whenever we are tempted, the devil wants us to be thinking about us. That's it. Simple. As long as he can get us to focus on ourselves instead of God, he wins. See, when temptation arises, it's because of a weakness that we have. Are we on the same page here? Let me say that one more time. When temptation arises, it's because of a weakness that we have. Now, let me be extremely clear. There is nothing wrong with being weak. I got to repeat that again. There is nothing wrong with being weak. Jesus in his humanity was weak. That's kind of the point of the story. He was weak. But what is the temptation? The temptation is to cover our weakness with our strength. As long as we can focus on our strength and not our weakness, Satan wins. As long as you focus on how you have the ability to meet your needs right now, he wins. Satan's message is simply this: just eat. That's all he wants you to do. Just eat. Stop playing around and just eat. Some of us know that our health is not good, but you're hungry and you got $10 and KFC is right around the corner. Just eat. Some of us know we need to stop watching TV or being online for 4, 5, 6 hours in a day, but we're bored and we just happen to be in front of a TV in our living room and we got our phone and computer, and Satan's just saying, just eat. Some of us are lonely and we have that unmarried special someone we can call. Or who knows, maybe they're married. The devil is saying, just eat. His message is the same. Take care of yourself. Meet your own needs. Just eat. But what does Jesus do? Verse 4, he answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, what in the world just happened? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter in the 3rd verse, where Moses reminded the nation of Israel of what happened in Exodus 16. Some of us may remember that this is where Israel was in the wilderness after coming out of Egypt. At that point, they were complaining that they didn't have anything to eat, and so God rained manna and placed quail around the camp of the Israelites every day. Even though they were in the wilderness, God took care of them. The point of Deuteronomy 8:3 was to remind Israel that they are to follow God's commands because that is the only way that they would prosper. Listen to this. Moses was reminding the Israelites that they were not simply to trust what they could see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, but to trust the promises of God. Just do what God says, and he will take care of your basic needs. That's what Moses was saying. Trust the promises of God. Jesus is making the same point here. He knows that God is testing him. He knows that God is faithful. He knows that God has called him for a specific purpose. He knows that the reason he is here and the reason he even made the 40 days prior to here is because of the promises of God. Therefore, why stop now? Because he's hungry? God kept an entire nation of people fed for 40 years. Based off of his promises. God kept Jesus all this time because of his promises. There's a song that says, God will do what he said he will do. So therefore, no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Not hunger, not Satan himself, nothing. St. John, what has God done for you? What has God called you to be and do? Why has God allowed you to be tested? You know that God doesn't just let you go through stuff for no reason, right? There's always a reason for your testing. See, sometimes God allows us to be weak. Because when we are weak, then he is strong. His power is perfected in our weakness. God wants us to lean and depend on him. I don't know what your cravings are right now, but God wants to remind you that he can satisfy every craving you have. You have a problem resisting certain foods? Give your weakness to the Lord. Can't drop that bad habit? Give it to God. Feeling lonely and vulnerable? Give that feeling to the Lord. He has done it before, and he will do it again. But you have to know that God is faithful. And that he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. The devil says, just eat. But the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. As I prepare to close, watch how the Father came through for Jesus. After Jesus resisted all of the temptations, verse 11 says that angels came and began to serve him. That means that God sent his angels to give him the food he needed. Jesus didn't have to turn stones into some dinner rolls. See, in the moment, hear this. See, in the moment, it looked like it was his only option. But that's how the devil framed it. That's how Satan wanted it to seem. Somebody needs to hear this. Whenever you are tempted, know this. The devil wants to limit your options. He wants to convince you that there is no way that God can come through and rescue you. If you ever feel like that, if you feel like there is no way that you can resist your temptation, just know that the devil is lying to you. It is a straight up, bold-faced lie. The devil just wants you to focus on yourself. He doesn't want you to trust God. How can we control our cravings? The same way Jesus did, by feeding on the promises of God. Feed on the promises of God. You might literally have to get out your Bible and say out loud that I don't need to eat this food, because Deuteronomy 8:3 says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You might need to say out loud that you won't cover up your boredom with TV or social media, because Ephesians 5:16 says that I am to make the best use of my time. And 1 Peter 5:8 says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You might need to say out loud that you don't have to be lonely, because Deuteronomy 31:6 says that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Feed on the promises of God. Thank God that Jesus fed on the promises of his Father. Because of the promises, he was able to endure temptation. Because of the promises, he went to a hill called Calvary. Because of the promises, Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Based on the promises, Jesus was raised up on that Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Because of the promises, Jesus will one day come back for his people. How can we control our cravings? by feeding on the promises of God. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, get this. Whenever you are getting tempted, place facts over feelings. God's promises are fact. His word is fact. What he has decreed over your life is fact. Facts never change. They never go away. But feelings do. That hunger you feel, that craving, it won't last always. It's a feeling. It comes and it goes. Got an urge to look at TV or go online? Don't worry. It's a feeling. It comes and it goes. That loneliness you feel, resist that temptation because it's just a feeling. It's going to come and it's going to go. But the facts will always be there. God's promises will always be there. Put facts over feelings. And you'll realize that you don't need to be a glutton. Whether you observe Lent or not, whether you need to lose weight or not, if you put facts over feelings, you'll realize that you don't need to just eat, because you'll be full off of God's promises.